From being the official opposition to losing thousands of voters who were not happy with how the party changed under Helen Zille, what has become obvious is that the party is bleeding votes. Zille is on the one hand the person who many feel built the party to becoming the biggest opposition party in the country, but then something went wrong and suddenly now she's described as the person who will sink the party. As we have seen with American President Donald Trump, she has no filter when it comes to tweets and social media. We discussed the rise and fall of Helen Zille with Wits Professor Roger Southall and author and investigative journalist at News 24, Peter Dutoy. Roger, thank you so much for your time. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
And Peter, welcome to you as well. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Roger, let me start with you. Where in your opinion did it start to go wrong for Helen Zille? She's always been opinionated, she's always been very strong, but there wasn't this degree of controversy during the time when she was at the helm of the party. It seems to have started a little after that, the refugee tweets, then the colonialism tweets, and now this most recent tweet.
Yes, I think I agree with you. It was really after she stood down and Maimane had taken over as leader. And she seems to have an inability to stop moving her fingers on Twitter. I think that whatever you think of the content of her tweets, that it was very rash to try to pursue what you might call historical arguments, for instance, over colonialism at the time, and it was at 140 whatever it is, digits you call it in Twitter. Hmm. I mean, it was extremely rash, but she seems to simply be a politician who doesn't know when the time comes to stop. If you contrast her role with Tony Leon, who, when he stood down from the leadership, has stayed in the background completely, and he's done one or two things for the DA when he's been asked. And his recent report on the election, which he did with Rehan Katsir and one of the DA's major funders, was a very interesting and fascinating document. But he's never pushed himself out in the way that Helen Zille has done. And it's quite unprecedented for now Helen Zille, having given up the leadership, to sail back into the job of federal council chairperson. Which is basically the equivalent of the ANC Secretary General in the ANC.
Hmm. Now, Peter, many are saying that the DA should have saw this coming. She created similar controversy with tweets before she was allowed to come out of retirement and come back into this current position that she now occupies in the DA.
Yes,
It's
not the first time. The first big incident after her retirement as leader of the DA, which she handed over to Moshe Maimane in 2015, were her infamous tweets about colonialism. And she didn't learn her lesson that time around. Inside of the DA there was and there remains huge frustration that Zille is unable to think through what she said on social media. And social media over the last couple of years has shown that it's not a place to conduct nuanced or complicated or difficult debates. When Twitter as the medium first arrived on the scene 10 years ago, it was a fascinating place where politicos and journalists and people who are interested in social issues congregated to discuss interesting things. But latterly, it's become a cesspool of hate and racism and insults. And Zille's waded into that. She's tapped into many of the more base feelings that many conservative South Africans have, and she's used that to try and build her own brand. Unfortunately, it's backfired heavily on the DA, which cannot afford to alienate the black and coloured and brown majority in this country. She's unable to steer clear of controversy, and she's unable to understand that if you want to conduct sensitive race debates, Twitter is not the place to do it. Mm. So the DA have been unable to rein her in. But just getting back to Roger's point about Tony Leon, which is a fantastic point. After Tony Leon left, he left the party to Helen Zille. She was the leader. And he did not try to rule from the grave. But Zille, since the day Zille took over the party in 2007 from Leon, You know, she was very clear about what she wanted to achieve with the party. She was headstrong. She was very outspoken, and she was a strong politician and a strong leader. And she was unable to let that go once she left in 2015. And that's been a big fault of hers.
Now, Roger, you know, Peter speaks about the DA's inability to rein her in. Some have taken her on, Phumzile van Dam, John Moody and others, mostly the non-whites within the party. Although, to be fair, John Steenhuisen did take out a statement, albeit that some saw it to be somewhat mild and tame. What clout do these non-white members within the DA have to be able to censure Helen Zille or to at least initiate a process that could rein her in?
Well, it is this debate about race and racial redress which goes on and on inside the DA, and it is an important debate, but it's become extremely polarised between those who say that you cannot take race into account in when you're trying to effect redress, you have to go through other forms of empowerment by growing the economy, etc. And those who say, look, this is simply overlooking history and you do have to make some compensatory moves, and that may require recognition of those who are black. Now, this debate has been dividing the party between what you might call liberals and the transformationists for a long time. You're talking about Van Damme and the other black MPs. I think there are about 30% of DA MPs basically are black, broadly speaking. And so they, out of the 82 of them, that's quite a cohort. But nonetheless, I think the DA has become increasingly a party of the racial minorities, and it is increasingly unable to appeal to the black population, the African black population. Only 4% of the black voting population voted for the DA in the last election. This is despite all the efforts that Zille made during her leadership to bring in blacks into more prominent positions within the DA. Now, this failure speaks to something, and I think it's speaking to the failure of the DA to communicate to the black majority. And unless they can deal with that, I think they are doomed to stay a party of racial minorities.
And that was, if I can touch on what Roger said, you know, that was Zille's frustration from the very beginning. She realized that the DA needs to break out of the waiting game. She was very clear about that. She started building the coalition in Cape Town around the city, the Metropolitan Council of Cape Town, which was a difficult thing to do. The DA then became a party of government in the Western Cape. It moved into Gauteng when it took control of Midvaal. And then in August 2017, it was surprised at the polls when the ANC were kicked out of the majority party in Tshwane and Johannesburg. So Zille was very aware she was very aware of the fears that the party might be reduced to being a regional party for minorities. But what she's done now is realize those fears in the way in which she's conducted herself in public over the last year, two or three, where she played into the hands of neo-ethnic nationalist organizations, which we see in the north of the country, which you Catonians don't get exposure to, but you do see the rise of conservative organizations like AfriForum Solidarity, which have a lot of traction amongst the DA's traditional base in the north. And that has and the fears that they might lose that base has led to Zille conducting herself the way that she did. The loss of Schweizer-Rienecker, the loss of places like that in the last election, the missteps that the DA did take around allegations of racism at that primary school in Schweizer-Rienecker hurt the DA. Zille feels argues that she needs to get those voters back, but the way they're going about it is alienating potential black voters. Right.
Final question then to you, Peter. Is Helen Zille is there a possibility that the DA will ever be able to rein her in? One gets the impression that even when she concedes, it's more like a tactical retreat, like we saw with the colonial tweets. She came back and said much of the same. Is it time for them to just face the reality that she cannot be part of the leadership of the party any longer if they want to grow as a party?
Well, it's difficult. The party is by its very nature a democratic party. So her return was via the chairpersonship of a branch in Globalstrand. From there, she was nominated to stand for position of chairperson of the Federal Council, and she was duly elected. So, you know, if that's what the members want, that's what the members will get. She can't be ejected unilaterally. So it's very difficult for us as outsiders who might disagree with her, but if that's what the party's rank and file want, you know, that's the character that the party will adopt, and you know, that's the direction they want to go.
Yes, Roger?
If I could add to that, I mean, I think what we are going to see is we are going to see a conflict between John Stenhuizen and Zilla. And in fact, Zilla is undermining John Stenhuizen before he's even actually full-time leader, which he will become. And in the lead-up to the next local elections, she is destroying his possibility of actually maintaining the party where it is, let alone gaining votes, because the DA, as it is at the moment, is not going to increase its total vote in 2021. But at this moment, the party is so divided, I don't think it's going to equal how it did last time in the local elections. And I think at some point, John Stenhuizen is going to have to stand up and say, it's either you or me.
And that's exactly what Musi Memani predicted. Professor Roger Southall and Peter Tutoi, thank you both for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
A pleasure.